Thank you.
Well, we are with our winner, Chase Briscoe. Big hometown victory for Chase. Congratulations on the big win. Several questions already lined up, and we'll go straight to them. We'll start off with Dustin Long. Go ahead, Dustin.
Yeah, Chase, a couple things. You've talked about how much time you spent in the simulator and how much focus on this race. I'm curious how that experience helped in the last few laps with some of the things that you had to do. And was that anything you pulled out of the simulator, or was that stuff that you pulled out of practice yesterday?
A little bit of both. You know, I think for one, on the simulator, we were trying to focus on running, you know, like 93-second lap times. And yesterday in practice, we were, you know, in the 90-second lap time. So I had a lot less grip in the simulator, and I don't know what lap times we were turning today. But, you know, I felt like I was just – honestly, I try to run this – all these road courses – a lot like dirt. You know, I just try to keep the thing hooked up at all times on exit. And, you know, I felt like at the Roval, that's kind of what won me the race the first time. And then now to do that here again, you know, I just feel like that's kind of – my dirt background just helps me so much on these places, especially when it's hot and slick like it was today. You know, everybody's spinning the tires and everything else, and it's all about being patient back to the gas and trying to keep the rear tires hooked up. And that's what I try to do all day. And you know, just run my pace, and I didn't do a very good job of that at the end of the race when Allmendinger was behind me. You know, when I was out front, I just kept backing the corners up so much and just saving my stuff, and I was, you know, faster that way. But when Allmendinger was behind me, I had to run so hard into the corner because he would have passed me if I didn't, that it kind of got me out of rhythm and about, you know, gave the race away getting into the last corner back there. So just can't believe I won at Indianapolis. You know, I'm glad I put as much work into it as I did. You know, I felt like I wasn't as much of a disadvantage as the other guys coming in here that didn't, you know, turn laps. And, you know, it was definitely, I think, pretty similar to the simulator. But, you know, there's still nothing like real life.
Also, you know, I know you talked about how special it would be to win here, but also you just wouldn't have family here. What's the whole experience been like? Obviously, you get to climb the fence, you kiss the bricks. But when you're climbing the fence, you're not looking across at fans cheering for you. You don't have family in victory lane. What's this whole winning experience been like at this track?
Yeah, you know, every week I've talked about when I win, how, you know, the fans make winning fun. You know, they're the reason you celebrate. And, you know, the last couple times I don't really celebrate just because, you know, without the fans, I just don't get hyped up. But here I was obviously excited. You know, I wish there would have been fans here. I probably said it 5 or 6 times in victory lane how bad I wish fans – we're here, especially my family and friends, and, you know, I just know it would have been so special. I know my family was probably crying at home. You know, I was thinking about that in the last couple laps. So, you know, it's tough. You know, I wish they could have been here to experience it because, you know, it's something that may not ever happen again. So, you know, it's definitely bittersweet to win without them here. But, you know, overall, I'm still so glad and thankful that I was just able to win here. You know, very few people can say they've got a race here, let alone win here. And, you know, it's still not as prestigious, obviously, as winning on the Oval, but, you know, to be the first to do something and win on the road course here in a stock car, and, you know, it doesn't matter what you're racing here. If you win in Indianapolis, it's special, and especially when you grow up literally an hour away from the place and came here as a kid. So it's just very humbling.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next, we'll take a question from Bruce Martin. Go ahead, Bruce.
Chase, congratulations. From your point of view, those last 7 laps were pretty entertaining. What was it like, you know, in the cockpit? If you can just kind of describe all the, you know, you had Allmendinger trying to push you. You had all kinds of action going on. How did you keep it all straight?
Yeah, it was very adrenaline-packed and nerve-wracking. I feel like normally I don't get too worked up in the race car, but you know, I have put a lot of pressure on myself for this race, and I didn't want to see that caution towards the end because I knew I had a good enough lead that I didn't think anybody was going to catch me. And, you know, anytime you have a late race restart, you never know what can happen. So I was a little bit worried. You know, I had an awesome restart and got the lead, but then I saw Allmendinger get right behind me. And, you know, like I was saying, he's so good into the braking zones. You know, he really pressured me a lot and felt like I was doing a good job. And then I was doing the same thing I had been doing every time. I think it's into turn 10, and I just randomly wheel hopped for whatever reason. I don't know what happened, and, you know, I was so mad and frustrated with myself. I just tried to maintain composure. I knew that those guys were going to get to racing each other. And once they started racing each other, let me close the gap back. And, You know, I think if it would have just been Allmendinger getting out front or even Cindric out front, I would have never caught him. But for them two to start racing each other, you know, that was my saving grace. And then I don't know what happened. I know we went three wide into one, and I kind of threw a dirt track slide job. I just kind of slid it in there and was able to clear both of them. And I got so tight, and I got into Allmendinger a little bit. And then on the backstretch, I looked up, and there was nobody around me. And at that point, I just knew I had to, you know, just hit my marks and not screw up. And, you know, I felt like I ran a pretty clean race today, that other than that one mistake. But our car was just really good. And just I'm so thankful and so blessed to be the guy to get to drive these race cars. You're only as good as the race car you're in. And, you know, to win here at Indianapolis, driving for my hero, Tony Stewart, and with Greg Zabidelli on the box, nonetheless, it's just unbelievable.
And do you think you're giving the folks down in Mitchell, Indiana, a reason to send fire off a few more fireworks tonight?
Yeah, I'm sure if they were watching on TV, I'm sure they're going to be fired up. You know, like I keep saying, it sucks they're not here. I understand the circumstances, but it's tough to know how many of them would have been here this week. And, you know, anytime I come here, you know, just feeling, you know, for whatever reason, when you come to Indianapolis, if you're an Indiana driver, the crowd just gets behind you. And I would have loved to see the crowd today. And, you know, hopefully we put on a good enough race the next year to come here and pack the place, and we can put on another really good show for them.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next up, we'll take a question from Jim Utter. Go ahead, Jim.
Congratulations, Chase.
Thank you, Jim.
You, before the season started, you set a goal for yourself of 8 wins, and a lot of people probably thought you were kind of crazy. You got 5 wins in 13 races, which is second best only to Sam Ard. I just wondered what do you think about what you and your team has been able to accomplish considering all the different circumstances that you've had to face so far this season?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, realistically, we could have 7. I threw away Atlanta and then the Homestead, the first race, felt like we had one get away with the lead deal. So, you know, we've literally every single racetrack we went to, we've been in the hunt. And it's pretty unbelievable to think that we went to 13 races and had a chance to win every single one of them. And, you know, I know it sounds so cliche to say it's such a testament to the guys, but it really is. Especially, you know, this week we had practice, but every other week we don't have practice. And to show up and be that good week in and week out, you know, it just shows how good they are at their jobs. And to be 3 guys down from our normal crew, it just shows the strength and depth of Stewart Haas Racing. And, you know, on pavement especially, you're only as good as the race car you're in. You can't make up for a big gap like you can in dirt. And I feel like I'm in one of the best week in and week out. And I'm just blessed to be able to be that guy. You know, multiple people can get in good race cars and win, but it takes good people and a good environment to do that. And I feel like we have a great team.
And could you just describe a little bit about what it's been like to work with Greg Zabidelli these last several weeks?
Yeah, I mean, we've been on a good run. You know, 3 out of 4 is pretty dang good. And I was just giving him a hard time about coming out of retirement. And he said he never did retire. He just changed roles. So, you know, I think he's done a great job. Obviously, we knew Zippy was going to do an amazing job. He's obviously accomplished. But at the same time, Richard Boswell is our crew chief. He's our team leader. And, you know, he's still the guy setting these cars up every week. And we get to have Boswell back next week. And Nick Hutchins, our car chief, and DJ Vanderlei, our engineer. And we're excited to have those guys back. And I wish they could have celebrated these 3 wins with us. But, you know, I know that we're going to be able to contend for more. And hopefully we can all celebrate as a team again. But, yeah, I think, you know, it's I keep saying that. I'm just so blessed to be able to be the guy driving these great race cars.
Thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you, Jim.
Next up, we'll take a question from Nathan Brown. Go ahead, Nathan.
Hey, you've already talked a little bit, I know, just about what this race win felt like, but the whole idea of this race weekend, having these 2 races here on this track, with IndyCar and Xfinity having the breakout tomorrow, what have you enjoyed thus far about this triple header weekend, and what would you like to see the 2 series do down the line?
You know, I think there's nothing to change. You know, I know after today's race, people might say to move the Brickyard to the road course, but there's obviously a ton of tradition in running on the oval, and you know, it's special to run on the oval here. But you know, I think really this is the perfect scenario for this weekend. To be brought back to what it used to be, you know, to be at Indianapolis on 4th of July weekend watching IndyCars and NASCAR doesn't get any more American than that. So, you know, I think this is a perfect scenario to really bring this race back to life. And, you know, obviously I think next year when there's fans here after the show that we put on today and what they're going to put on tomorrow, we'll see a lot more fans coming and, you know, they're going to have an awesome fireworks show and everything else. So it's the perfect family event. And I'm looking forward to hopefully coming here next year and seeing how many people we can fit in this place.
Great, thanks.
Next up, we'll take a question from Jeff Gluck. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Chase, Zippy earlier was, you know, singing your praises about all the things you do right and all your attributes, obviously, as a good driver. I'm curious to hear your perspective on what else you need to improve on before you move to the next level. What do you feel like are some of your shortcomings right now that you still want to try to address this year?
I think just doing the little details right. You know, the pit road's a big one. You know, maximizing pit road speed, but not speeding. I've been caught speeding 3 or 4 times this year, and just, you know, doing all the little things right. I want to get better as a race car driver, just in general, of, you know, minimizing mistakes. And I feel like I've been doing a better job of that, but I still make mistakes. So, you know, a lot of the times these races are won by the guy who makes the least mistakes, because everybody's going to make at least 1 or 2, but you can't make big ones. So, you know, just cleaning up the whole race. You know, I feel like I could be a lot better at the beginning of these races. Because I feel like I kind of, not ride around, but I feel my car out, especially with no practice. And I don't, you know, rush my way to the front. I kind of pick my way in and out of cars and just kind of feel what I need for the end of the race. And, you know, it's been working for us because we've been able to continually be there at the end of these races. But, you know, I got to capitalize on stage points. For the amount of wins we have, we don't necessarily have the most stage points because I haven't been 110% aggressive from lap one. So I feel like I need to do a little bit better job of that. And then just, like I said, the little details, just doing the little things right. And, you know, just being better at describing what I need in my race car. You know, I feel like I've continually learned more and more. You know, coming from the dirt world, it was, you know, 100% fresh start. And, you know, I feel like I've learned a ton in the last year and a half as far as setup stuff goes, but I could still be a lot better.
So do you feel like, I know obviously everybody's made a huge thing out of your goal of 8 wins, but at this point, do you feel like you've made your case for moving up to the next level?
You know, I feel like I've been able to prove that I can win at different types of racetracks. You know, but I don't think there's a certain criteria. I mean, it's all about what other people see. So, you know, and obviously there's a lot of scenarios to go, but, you know, you've seen guys that have a lot of success at the Xfinity level and move up and struggle, and, you know, vice versa. You see guys like Jimmy Johnson who didn't necessarily have any Xfinity Series success and, you know, moved up to Cup and is one of the greatest of all time. So, you know, I think – I'm, you know, just trying to do the best I can and try to win as many races as I can and let people be the judge of me instead of trying to judge myself. I just got to go out there and do the best I can week in and week out. And, you know, my biggest thing is if I get to move up, I want to do it in something that's capable of winning. You know, I have no desire in moving into something that's a 15th or 20th place race car. I want to be in something that gives me an opportunity to try to go win races. And, you know, nothing against those guys that are doing that, but I feel like once you get into that 20th or 25th place race car, it's really hard to get out of that label of being one of those guys and getting in a top-notch ride. So I want to start my career, if I get to move up to Cup, in a top-notch series ride and learn good habits versus bad habits driving, you know, worse-handling race cars.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff.
Next up, we'll take a question from Bob Parker. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Chase, after you won, they remind you not to do a burnout on the bricks. I'm curious if they had to remind you or being an Indiana guy, were you like, yeah, I'm not going to do that?
Yeah, I knew better than do that. I knew I would have been the most hated man in Indiana if I did that. So, you know, I'm probably going to catch a little bit of hate about kissing the bricks for winning an Xfinity race. I know Cedric was giving me a hard time. We were talking about it before the race, how he said there was no way he was going to kiss the bricks if he won. But, you know, I wasn't going to miss this opportunity. You know, you never know. I might never win another race again in my career, and especially here at Indianapolis. So, you know, like I was saying earlier on TV, it's special if you win on the oval, the road course, the dirt track over here, in the parking lot, in the quarter midget. You know, you dream of getting to kiss those bricks and just getting to race in Indianapolis. So I wasn't going to miss that opportunity.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Bob.
Next, we'll take a question from Jerry Jordan. Go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, you know, just a few seconds ago, Tony Stewart tweeted out, he's very proud of you. For a guy who you say is your hero and growing up, what does that mean to you when Tony is putting out to the world how proud he is of you for this race today?
It's humbling, man. You know, I still get nervous when he comes around just because when you look up to somebody growing up, you know, they just make you nervous. And Tony's been exactly what I pictured growing up. You know, he's still my hero. You know, the guy is I mean, simply, he's a badass. I mean, he's still racing sprint cars almost 100 times a year, winning races, and, you know, he's a stud. And, you know, it's so cool for him to, you know, look at me and appreciate what I'm doing in his race cars. And, you know, we're really similar. We both didn't come from anything. You know, we both grew up in Indiana, about 45 minutes an hour away from each other, and we both grew up racing sprint cars. I mean, we're pretty carbon copy. I like drinking Dr. Pepper and eating Oreos before races, just like he did. So I feel like we're pretty similar in that sense, and it's cool to hear praises when you get them from your hero, that's for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks. We'll go to Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Congratulations, Chase. I know how much this meant to you. Have you talked to your dad yet? I know you guys are really, really close. Have you taken a minute just to, you know, talk to him and see how he feels about this whole thing?
Yeah, I haven't been to my phone yet. I know he called me before the race and was telling me to go get it. You know, I'll never forget when I got a run here in 2018. He literally had tears in his eyes just, you know, seeing that his son was getting to race at Indianapolis. That was always a dream of his. And, you know, to see how proud he was of me was pretty humbling and special. So I know that my whole family was over at my cousin's house here in Indianapolis, and I'm sure they were going crazy. I'm excited to go see him. I'm actually going to go to Putnamville tonight to the USAC race. My little sister has decided that she wants to try driving a race car. So at the end of the night, she's going to drive a mini sprint around there for 20 or 30 laps. So I'm going to head over to Putnamville and see a lot of my friends I never get to see anymore on the sprint car side of things, and get to hang out with my dad for a couple days and my family. I'm going to stay here till Monday and then go back. So it's pretty special. And, you know, really next week's another home race for me. It's not obviously Indiana, but Kentucky's a couple miles closer speedway-wise to my house than Indy is. But so, you know, two sentimental wins for me or sentimental races coming up in Kentucky, and we're trying to go there and do the same thing.
You're a real humble guy, and I know you say that, you know, a lot of the dirt track things that you do, so some of the technique you use, you've learned that, or I'm sorry, some of the road course stuff, you've learned that from dirt track is what I meant to say. But when you think about, here it is, you won the inaugural Roval, you won the inaugural road course at IMS, and you beat one of your best buddies, Austin Cindric, who has ran with the, you know, some of the best road course guys all over the world. I mean, does that sink into you, or does it just give you something to kind of gig your friend about?
I mean, it gives me a lot of pride. You know, I remember watching AJ Allmendinger win cup races on the road course and not the best equipment. And, you know, Cindric is a guy that, you know, he probably doesn't realize it, but I've looked up to on the road course stuff. I think he's incredibly good at what he does. You know, he's driven so many different disciplines of cars. And, you know, when I started doing this road course stuff with Ford and the IMSA stuff, you know, I was 5 or 6 seconds off the pace of what he was doing. And he was really my mentor. And Austin has helped me tremendously in the road racing side of things. And, you know, we talked today and hung out for almost 2 hours before the race. And, you know, that's the good thing about Austin. Me and him are really good friends. And, you know, we're probably our biggest competitors. And, you know, I'm asking him questions that, you know, truthfully, I don't expect to get the truth from it. And he answers them 100% truthfully. And, you know, I was behind his car and was able to watch him in practice. And I ask him questions, and literally what he tells me is the same thing I watched him do. So I know he's not blowing smoke to me. And that's what you want in a good teammate. You know, obviously we drive for different teams, but we're the same manufacturer. And, you know, my stock car career, I've grown up with Austin. We were teammates in the Arca stuff. Then trucks, we were obviously full-time teammates, and we shared the Roush car. And, you know, it's pretty cool to be able to beat those guys because they are so good at what they do.
Thanks a ton. Enjoy yourself tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Lee.
All right, we have time for two more questions. We'll take it from Jerry Bonkowski and Jim Aiello. Go ahead, Jerry.
Yeah, congratulations. Just a real quick question, following up on what Jim asked earlier. How did you ever arrive at the eight, you know, the number of eight wins that you wanted to get for this year? Why not 6 or 7 or 10? I mean, what was it about eight that you felt was the number you wanted to target?
Just, you know, going back and looking at the big three last year, you know, they all had right around that mark. And with those guys moving up, you know, it obviously creates an opportunity to go win more races. And, you know, I felt like at the end of last year, I was able to run with those guys. And, you know, I felt like, you know, we may not have the race wins, but we ran up front a lot. And I knew what my team was capable of. I knew down deep what I was capable of. And, you know, it's weird to say, but I feel like I've always kind of thrived under pressure. And, you know, it was kind of like Babe Ruth calling a shot. I knew if I did that, I had to back it up. And, you know, if you go back to the Roval when I won it, you know, a lot of people don't realize I didn't have a ride if I didn't win that race. And, you know, to have that pressure on myself, and, you know, I just feel like I kind of thrive under pressure just from, you know, sleeping on all the couches I did volunteering at race shops. You know, there's a lot of time I only had one race to prove myself, and I had to do the best I could. So, you know, putting that number out there, you know, if we get to eight, I don't plan on stopping at eight. I want to keep winning more races and, you know, prove my worth. But I just felt like that was an attainable goal and something – if I put pressure on myself, it would really give me something to kind of shoot for.
Okay. I was going to ask you about the Babe Ruth analogy, but I figured he might be a little bit too young to know that, but he obviously did. So, all right, congratulations again. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
And a final question for Chase. We'll go to Jim Aiello. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, Chase, congrats. I just wanted to ask, obviously, you know how special this place is, IMS, going up around it. And I just curious, does it matter to you at all that, you know, a win here on a road course versus the Oval, or is it just as special no matter what?
No, I mean, I said it earlier this week, you know, it would mean, truthfully, I mean, a lot more to me to win on the Oval. I mean, nothing against the road course, but, you know, the Indy 500s ran on the Oval. You know, the Brickyard 400s ran on the Roval, or on the Oval.
Yeah.
There's just a lot more history in the Oval, and that's nothing against the road course. But, you know, just growing up, the races I came here to watch were Oval races. And, you know, I grew up an Oval guy, not a road course guy, but – you know, I think to win the first one, it means a lot. You know, winning the Roval, the first Roval, I didn't realize how much that would mean to my career. And, you know, a lot of people put a lot of significance on being the first guy to win something. So, you know, I it's still special to win at Indy. I mean, like I keep saying, it doesn't matter what you're racing here. If you get a win at Indy, you know, it's special. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, the traditionalists might get mad that I kissed the bricks or whatever for winning the road course. But, you know, to me, I still won at Indianapolis, and I may never get that opportunity again.
Thanks, Chase. Congrats.
Thank you.
Well, Chase, thank you so much for all your time. Congratulations on this big win, and enjoy the rest of your night.
Yeah, thank you.